Self-Reflection Number 14, Higher Self, Lower Self, and the Mask. Greetings in the name of the Lord. Blessed is this hour in which I am permitted to speak to you, my friend. I have promised to talk to you tonight about how we, in the spirit world, see the entire human personality, the complete unit of the human personality. You all know that man does not only have a physical body, but also various so-called subtle bodies. Each subtle body represents something different. You also know that man's thoughts have definite spiritual forms, but not only are such forms created by thought, but also by feelings, for feeling is really nothing else than an unthought thought that is not made conscious. An unthought thought that is not made conscious. Although thought creates a different type of form than does feeling, nevertheless, both create such definite and, for us, very substantial forms. Each subtle body, as well as the physical body, has a so-called aura. These thought forms, or feeling forms, give their image in the aura, but these images are merely the reflection of their reality. These forms exist truly, but around or outside the personality, and their images, they are just reflected in the personal auras. These forms create the spheres in the spirit world, and according to the intensity of the thoughts or feelings, they are vague and weak, or definite, strong, and durable. In other words, all these forms are more or less fluctuating, changing, and thus you will understand better that everything is in perpetual motion in spirit. The aura of the physical body shows physical sickness or health, or any and all states of the physical being. The emotional, intellectual, or spiritual reactions show in the aura of the respective subtle body. Each living being has his higher self, or the divine spark. This is the finest and most radiant of the subtle bodies, with the quickest frequency of vibration. You see, the aura is the vibration and emanation of the respective subtle body, and the higher the spiritual development, the quicker is the vibration or frequency. Since the fall of the angels, the higher self surrounded itself in a slow process, and in gradual stages with various layers of denser matter, not yet the physical body, but from your viewpoint, these layers are also of subtle matter because you cannot see them with your physical eye, but they are infinitely infinitely denser than the higher self. Thus did the lower self come into existence. The aim of spiritual development is to eliminate the lower self so that the higher self becomes free again of all layers it has acquired. In your practical life, you will be able to sense quite easily with yourself or others that certain parts of the higher self are already free, while other parts of it are still hidden. How much is free, how much is hidden, how thickly it is sometimes hidden depends on the overall development of the respective person. The lower self does not only consist of the common faults and the individual weaknesses that vary with each person, but also of ignorance and laziness. It hates to change and to conquer itself. It has a very strong will that may not always manifest itself outside, and wants his way without paying the price. It is very proud and selfish. It has always a great deal of personal vanity, the ego with all its manifestations. All these characteristics are generally part of the lower self, regardless of other individual faults. But there are many shades, many possibilities in which the lower self can display these general trends contained in it. And this depends on various other factors, i.e., the personal faults which can take or have different effect on these common traits of the lower self. Also included are the good qualities as well as various other circumstances, all of which together influence the outer manifestation, intensity, degree, and direction that these general trends may take. We see the higher self and we see the lower self, but this applies, of course, only to spirits who have attained a certain degree of development. Not all spirits can see all the subtle bodies of a creature. In other words, the mere fact that a spirit leaves his physical body behind does not in the least imply that he can necessarily see more than any of you can see. But a spirit who has attained a certain degree of development will not only be able to interpret the lower self, but he will be able to see through it to discover the higher self in all its splendor, because denser matter, whether it is physical or dense matter in the beyond, does not represent an obstacle for our eyes and perception. So we can determine very well what thought forms come from the higher self, as well as those which come from the lower self. We can also determine which tendencies, wishes, desires, and endeavors from the higher self may be mixed in with other tendencies from the lower self, so that their original shade is twisted, colored, dirtied, and when the messages from the higher self are tainted with the motives of the lower self, a disorder is created in the soul, which makes its bearer emotionally ill. All these various tendencies have different colors, my friends, and in many cases, different tones and scents. For example, a person may want something selfish, and because he does not want to admit to himself that this is selfishness, he begins to rationalize this selfish desire and to fool himself about it. We can see all this very clearly, and indeed, similar self-deception is extremely frequent among human beings. The forms of the higher self have an entirely different character than the ones of the lower self. This reminds me of another layer that is, unfortunately, not yet recognized enough among human beings in its full significance, and that is what I might term the mask self. The mask self is created in the following way. When a person recognizes that he may get in conflict with his surroundings by giving in to his lower self, he may nevertheless not be ready to take the consequences by paying the price necessary to eliminate the lower self, which means, first of all, that he must face it as it really is, with all its motives and drives. For you can only conquer something of which you are fully aware. This means taking the narrow path, the spiritual path. Many people do not want to think that far. They react emotionally without even thinking about it. And the so-called subconscious feels it is necessary to present a different picture of the self in order to avoid certain difficulties, unpleasantness, or disadvantages of all sorts. Thus, they create this other layer of the self, having nothing to do with reality. Neither with the reality of the higher self, nor with the temporary reality of the lower self. It is what you might call phony. It is false. It is unreal. I will return to the above example. The lower self dictates to the person to be quite ruthless about a selfish desire. It is not difficult for even the most limited intelligence to realize that by giving in to this desire, the result will be ostracism, or, as it were, being disliked by other people. No one wants that. Instead of overcoming the selfishness by the slow process of development, such a person often acts as though he were unselfish. But actually, his is. He feels the selfishness. He hates to be forced to act against the wishes of his lower self. He feels a compulsion to do a necessary outside act with which he is not at peace within his, at least in this respect, still predominant lower nature. His giving in, his generosity is only a pretense and not at all reconciled with his feelings. In other words, the right act is entirely unsupported by unpurified feelings, and therefore the person is at war with himself. The proper act becomes an act of necessary compulsion instead of a freely chosen one. This is not paying the price in the real sense. For while a person may give something, he may hate the idea. Thus, he is not only actually just as selfish within by his inner conviction, but besides that, he is untrue to his nature. He is violating his reality. He is living a lie. From this, by no means does it follow that it is advisable to give in to one's lower nature, for either the enlightenment has to be fought for, or the development striven for in order to purify the feelings and desires. And if this is not accomplished, at least there should be no self-deception. The person should at least have a clear and true picture about the discrepancy of his feelings and his actions. In this way, no mask self could form. However, it is too often the case that such a person tries to believe in his own unselfishness, and in that way is fooling himself about his real feelings and the motives by not showing them. And after a while, the evil root will sink into the subconscious, where it will ferment and create its forms and have their effect, and cannot be eliminated when one is consciously unaware of it. The example of selfishness is merely one instance. There are many other traits and trends that go through the same process, my friends. When people are emotionally sick, it is always in one way or another that a masked self has been created. They do not realize that they are living a lie. They have built this layer of unreality that has nothing to do with their real being. Thus, they are not true to their real personality. As I said before, being true to oneself does not mean that you should give in to your lower self, but be aware of it. Do not fool yourself if you still act according to necessity and not out of enlightened vision and inner conviction. Be aware that your feelings are still unpurified in this or that respect. Then you have a good basis from which to start. It will be easier for you to face yourself in this manner when you realize that underneath the layers of your lower self lives your higher self, your ultimate and absolute reality, which you must eventually reach. And in order to reach it, you must first face your lower self, your temporary reality, instead of covering it up, because that puts an even greater distance between you and the absolute reality, or your own higher self. In order to face the lower self, you must at all costs tear down the masked self. You can bring yourself to do so when you visualize these three selves as I am discussing here. To lie to oneself and not think about one's emotions and true motives at all, but merely to let the emotions react without thinking, may appear at times to be sufficient, but it is not. He who wants to become happy, healthy, and at peace with oneself, he who wants to fulfill his life truly, he who wants to be in harmony with God and thus with oneself, has to realize once and for all, what is the actual me? What is my higher self? What is my lower self? Where may there be a mask, a falsehood? With many, many people there is a mask, at least in some respect. This masked self presents to us a very ugly color, my dear friends. It is not dark or black or sinister as the trends of the lower self in different variations, but the colors of the masked self are sickly sweetish. If you are an artist or artistically inclined, it is easy for you to determine a good genuine color or an unreal, sweetly artificial coloring. You even have created a word for bad art and bad coloring. You call it trash. It is the same with the tones of the masked self as well as the odor, which is also sickly and nauseating. We even prefer the emanation and effects of the lower self, unpleasant as it may be for us, but at least it is honest. It is important for all of you to try to train your inner eye to see yourselves and other human beings from that point of view. The more you become spiritually awake, the easier it will be for you to perceive yourselves and others from that point of view. You will feel, when you come in contact with the higher self, a very distinct difference with masked self. Once your intuition has awakened also in this respect through your personal spiritual development, you will nauseatingly feel the manifestations of the masked self, first of all, your own, of course, pleasantly as it may present itself. If your human psychologists, psychoanalysts, and psychiatrists would begin to view their patients from this viewpoint, they could accomplish a lot more. They would have success where they are still unsuccessful. And the time will come when this knowledge will be theirs, when they are mature and courageous enough to include spiritual reality in their thinking. They will discover all this and prove the truth by their success with their patients. They will solve problems with their patients, even though they cannot see, as we can, that which so far appears impossible to solve. The mere knowledge of these three parts of human personality will make a tremendous difference in the results they will obtain, because they will, after some practice and study, determine comparatively easily what part of the self with which they are dealing in certain phases. They will develop different means to deal with the different selves, and they will be able to instruct the conscious and will direct the part of the person using these facts, and that will make a great deal of difference. If a person is ready to accept help in that respect, the conscious and will-directing part of the self is on the proper road. But what remains to be accomplished is that the subconscious layers of the personality become penetrated with these truths as well, which can only be done by the person himself, so that all inner resistances will be overcome. If you want to walk this path, if you want to be cured of your emotional sicknesses, it is important for you to understand all this. Even if you are not what is called a neurotic, and even if in your case there are only minor deviations from the law within you, it will be very useful for you to understand all this and to meditate on it. This may be an explanation for you why it frequently happens that a person under psychoanalysis by a doctor who rigidly follows a school of thought that does not admit to any spiritual truth and facts, and who is not very intuitive about such things, may go through such a crisis in that his state of mind becomes worse than before the treatment was started. Of course, there may also be doctors possessing good intuitions and a strong sense of guidance, in which case the aforementioned may not happen quite so often or so strongly. When the doctor has succeeded in tearing down this mask self, and the patient is confronted with lower self, the experience may be so shattering that he will break down completely. He may give up the help, and it may even have more serious consequences. On the other hand, if this person were told what I am telling you here, and thus be prepared of what to expect, so much hardship, and often even tragedy, could be avoided. If a patient knew that he has to face the lower self that exists in each human being, but that this lower self, unpleasant as it may be, is not the ultimate I or true self, but the higher self, which is perfection and which is waiting to grow out of these layers of imperfection, then this shock would never occur. Therefore, this knowledge is important for your psychologists and doctors of all kinds, as well as for all teachers and parents, etc. It would help a great deal. Perhaps you have questions with this subject, my dear friends. First question. What is the metaphysical explanation of allergies? People are, for instance, often even allergic to things that they love. Answer. There may be different explanations for this. Generally speaking, it may be just the fact that the true personality is not allowed to evolve, that a mask is put over it, and the inner reaction, also the revolt by the higher self, may create certain physical symptoms in order to wake up the person and find out the reason. This is only one explanation. There may be others. For instance, another possibility is that very often the human soul is torn apart by conflicting desires. One part of the personality wants to go in one direction, and another part wants to go in the opposite direction. These pull alternately. By leaving all these trends more or less in the subconscious, the soul has failed to make peace with itself, and this creates a great strain and friction. As long as these currents are not brought out into consciousness so as to be dealt with and to be examined with their true meaning and motive understood, this inner fight cannot be settled. On the other hand, the lower self works against bringing out anything into the open. And as long as the conscious and will-directing part of the personality does not take matters into his own hands, this inner fight and friction goes on. Due to the fact that all this takes place in the subconscious, all that comes out are the symptoms, which may be tiredness, allergies, and various other physical symptoms. These conflicting tendencies actually create a short circuit in the soul. A third alternative is, there may be a shock reaction in the life of a person. Now this person has put the incident into the subconscious. He does not remember it consciously at all. By chance, a food or a plant or an animal or some such thing may have played a role, even an unimportant or indirect one, but the person has this association and reacts accordingly. This incident may have occurred in childhood and even in infancy or perhaps in a previous incarnation. It is not always necessary to remember the actual incident, although this can help too. The main point is that the wrong inner reaction that has created this evil root be cleared away. And whenever anything is put away into the subconscious, you can be quite sure that there must be some sort of inner wrong reaction. Any of these alternatives, broadly speaking and with variations, also two or all three of them together and interacting, may be responsible for allergies. There may also be other possibilities, but it is quite impossible for me to go into all of the details now.
I am just giving you a general outline. Next question. There is a lot of hypocrisy in this world, which is, of course, the mask self. It is encouraged by the world because the world wants to see good. From the viewpoint of the whole world, is it not preferable to do and act right, even if it is a mask, than to remain one's lower self if somebody cannot really eradicate it? And the answer? Everybody can eradicate it if one really wants to do so. It is only a question of how much can be eradicated by you in this present incarnation. However, enough can be eradicated so that you will not commit crimes and you will not do harmful things to others. Besides, the issue does not present the alternative between giving in to the lower self or creating a mask self. As I have explained it, even if the feelings cannot be purified at once, and this takes quite a long time, as well as a combination of effort and patience, the point is that one is aware of one's own imperfections, unclean desires, and lower nature, while acting in accordance with the standards of your society. Instead of believing the mask self as being one's true nature and real self, and thus fooling oneself and creating an inner lie. In other words, you do not choose between becoming a cannibal, if this is your lower self, and following the dictates of it, or becoming hypocritical and fooling yourself. No, you should be aware of it, and that you act according to necessity and your own convenience. While your feelings are still unpurified and not always in accordance with your outer actions, providing you cannot or will not do the necessary thing in order to purify yourself. Even if you are taking the road of purification, you cannot expect some measure of success until you are willing to wait and work, work and wait. In the meantime, this self-honesty is an absolute essential and necessary requisite for any success in this most wonderful venture. But even if you are unwilling to take this road, it is infinitely better to have no self-illusions than to create this unhealthy and sickly aura. Next question. How is it possible to go about undoing what your lower self has manifested in the way of physical illness? How can you undo it? The answer? In the first place, my dear friend, you should not try to think or wish to eliminate the consequences first. That would be too easy. In other words, if your lower self has created an illness, this illness has to be accepted first. And you should go about finding the roots or what part of your lower self has created this illness. Thus, the lower self really has to be met and completely explored. Your aim must be purification and perfection for its own sake, for the love of God that you have in you, and not for the sake of not having to bear discomfort. It is true, and it takes a lot of overcoming and inner fight to purify the motives first to such an extent, but that is the necessary foundation. While this is being done, a lot of other things are being learned automatically, and thus spiritual strength gathers by learning to apply absolute self-honesty. Once your motives are pure, the sickness will not matter half as much anymore to you than the state of your soul. In the measure that the ego and the comfort of all that goes with it loses importance to you, you will have followed a very important spiritual law, and thus health will be gradually restored. This law is the giving up of the self, the life Jesus mentioned. Thus you will win it, but only thus. So begin by meeting your lower self in courage, in optimism, in humility, and in a spirit of warfare, so to speak. And once you discover it, once you shed all the masks and all the coatings, then you begin to work on these different aspects of the lower self. You do this by daily observation and self-testing, by observing again and again how far your inner currents still deviate from what you wish them to be. As you do that, as you become master over your lower self, as you learn real self-honesty, and as your motives for development become purer and purer, your vision will widen, enlightenment will be given to you, and gradually your illness will disappear. So you should not even think of your illness first, but of the root of the problem. That will be the only lasting success, the only one, my dear. If your wish is recognized in the spirit world, if your wish is truly sincere and that you want to purify yourself and not merely rid yourself of unpleasant consequences that are most visible or noticeable to you, help will be extended to you and guidance will come to you, so that you can do battle with your lower self and have help in doing so, because no one can really do it alone. Next question. I asked last time why the Hindu philosophy does not have the fall of the angels. You promised that you would answer tonight. Response. There are about three reasons for that, and each reason is a good one. Reason number one. Eastern philosophy rightly puts spiritual progress above all. Everything else that has ever happened in the creation is only of secondary importance, and this is very true, my friends. However, it is useful in some cases that light be shed on certain facts occurring in the long past, because the reason of existence on earth, the reason of evil, etc., are necessary for some people to know. The understanding of certain facts, even if they can only convey a very general and broad picture, will eliminate doubts that stand in the way of deciding on this path of perfection and purification. For the most part, the incarnated souls in the East are of a nature where this probing and searching in this respect are not so strong as, for instance, that of the Western mind. Therefore, they say, we do not need to know anything else. The important thing is how we develop. Reason number two. This is a little bit more complicated to convey to you. I once gave a lecture about two main aspects of God, the active or the male aspect and the passive or female aspect of God. In the active aspect, I explained that God is personality, active, thinking, planning, the creator. In the female aspect, God is in a state of being. With the explanation of this lecture, it will be easy for you to recognize that Eastern teachings and Eastern philosophy have experienced God in the female and passive manifestation. And that partly answers this question. The fall of the angels shows the happenings in the creation where God manifested himself as creator, therefore, in his male aspect. In this tragedy, God was enacting and creating new conditions whereby the return to him would be assured eventually to all creatures. It is therefore understandable that a philosophy experiencing God in the female aspect would be less likely to receive enlightenment regarding his male aspect. While Western philosophy experiencing his active and personality aspect would be blind to experience his enlightenment of the female side of God. Reason number three, this depicts the fall of the angels as having a great deal to do with the spirit of Jesus Christ. He plays a major part in the fall of the angels. Therefore, Eastern religion, having received a number of emissaries of their own, often very great, very exalted, and very highly developed spirits, is reluctant to recognize that others, who are not as advanced in many respects, spiritually speaking, as themselves, may even have a greater one, in fact, the greatest of all created beings. It is understandable and typical for human nature, for your logical conclusions can only be so limited, thus missing the complete picture. All these three reasons together give the explanation, or at least the most important explanation. I do not doubt that others may be found too, but these are undoubtedly the most important ones. Next question. I still do not understand. I understand that one of the reasons has to do with Jesus Christ, who played this important role in the fall. But why don't they have something similar to it? And the answer, this is so because, as I said, the other reasons count too, because they do not consider it very important to know about these things, because they have experienced God differently and not in his active side. And one reason plays into the other, one supports the other, and all three make a whole. Further question, is that perhaps the reason why the female aspect of God is recognized more there and the male aspect of God more in the West? And that is why East and West ought to get together. Answer, certainly. It also explains that in the East, spiritual development is much farther advanced, and it is usually the woman who is spiritually more awake or easier to guide. In the West, technique and material progress are farther advanced because this, in turn, is typically a male aspect. It is again the creating, the doing, the actual facts that are manifested. And both should unite because they complement each other and would create a wonderful wholeness if they could inter-exchange what each has ahead with the other. Question, does that mean in general that the Eastern teachings have lived through a different phase of Brahman and want to go into finding the Brahman where all these things are only? Yes, and it should be. Again, in this respect, even as far as spiritual and religious teachings are concerned, there too the Western and Eastern sides should unite, because both sides will furnish the complete picture only when put together. Each only has a half now, and when they unite, and when they marry, then humanity will have a great deal more understanding about spiritual truth, and more enlightenment is bound to follow afterwards. Question, is the fall of the angels within Maya? Oh no. Maya is a result of it, my friend. I don't know what Maya is. How do the spirits learn language, and can they use languages not known to the medium? Answer. I will answer both questions. The spirits in the spirit world do not use human languages among each other, of course. They do not need that, for we have the spiritual language. As I have explained, each thought creates automatically a form and becomes the parent. So that is our language. We spirits only learn languages for very definite and good purposes. In other words, if we have a task to fulfill with human beings, we need the knowledge of other languages, not only in connection with mediumship, but when a spirit has a task to guide a human being who is no medium at all, he still has to know the languages his protege knows, although we see the thought of the respective human being, too. Now, it may be the case, of course, that a spirit is chosen as guardian who, remembering his last language on earth, does not have to learn the language anew, and he will be assigned to a person who speaks that same language. But there are special instances where the learning of a language becomes necessary, and for that we have schools, just as you have schools. We have schools for many, many subjects, and languages is one of them. But we learn them easier, because here again, matter does not stand in our way, and that even applies to languages. How that applies is impossible for you to imagine, and I have no words to describe it. You just have to use your intuition, your feelings, and perhaps you will sense what I mean by this. So it is easier for us to learn languages than it is for human beings. As far as your second question is concerned, whether a spirit can speak through a medium in a language the medium does not know, the answer is yes. And it has happened many times. But there is a very definite and distinct type of mediumship necessary for that. There are many different types of mediumship, even of trance mediumship alone, not to speak of all the others. There may be a direct voice when you hear the actual voice of the spirit in a different part of the room. There may be a materialization, levitation, and many more phenomena that I cannot even enumerate here. One such phenomena is, and the Bible refers to it too, using the word tongues for languages, that a language is spoken through a medium that he or she does not know. But for all these different types of mediumship, a special training of the medium as well as for the spirits in connection with the medium is necessary. It is a different form of materialization or transfiguration. There are, for instance, mediums whose actual faces take on an entirely different shape, even a different bone structure. This is what may be called transfiguration. The speaking of foreign tongues is an auditory transfiguration. But as I said, different conditions have to be fulfilled with each of these types of mediumship. The spirit world of God is a world of order. When it is recognized here that a human being can fulfill a task as a medium, it will first be determined for what type of mediumship this person's particular talent is best for. What may be the most important task for the living conditions and surroundings of that particular person? And according to all these considerations, and the most important consideration from our viewpoint is always what is best for spiritual development and what serves the great plan most efficiently and not sensation and phenomena. Forces are set in motion to train this particular medium for his or her task. Once this task has been chosen and worked for, there will unlikely be any changes in the type of mediumship, unless there is a real good and spiritual reason for it. Thus works the world of God, which, as I said, is above all a world of order.
Next question. I wanted to know what the spiritual world thinks about this new planet, Sputnik. Response. That, my dear, depends entirely on the spiritual, moral, ethical attitude of all concerned. The thing itself is of no importance as far as we are concerned. Nothing in itself is, from our point of view, of any importance. The only importance is what you human beings make of it. And with that, my friends, I will leave you with the blessings of the Lord. Go your way in peace. Think that God is present within you and try to find him. Do not let the clouds or the powers of darkness destroy your sight of truth and your sense of truth that every so often touches your heart. Be in God.